This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you so much, Gerard. It's a privilege to be here this morning. It's amazing. Through the years, just last night, I've spent some time with the MTPs as well in Franschhoek, and it's amazing through the years just to see how people grow. And, to see how that God takes us from our state to a place where we can actually experience Him ministering through us. And Gerard, you are such a person. I want to honor you this morning. Just watching you this morning, speaking in front of the people here. I remember years ago when we did the conferences together, just where you came from. And, how God really walked the road with you. And it's beautiful to see what God has done. One of these days, you're going to come and preach here. And we're going to stand under your anointing. I really respect the leader of this church, Pastor Heinrich. You know, I honor him. Thanks for sharing him with us. I know some of you might not even know yet, but he is the leader of Shofar now, of Shofar International and National, which is not just a great privilege, but also a great responsibility. And I want to thank you for standing with him. We honor him as a leader. We stand behind him, and we are so excited about what God is doing in and through his life. So thanks for sharing him with us. We know that for you as a congregation, it's also sacrificially. We are really trusting God to do very special things in this new season to come. I want to speak out of a principle that some of you already heard at Convergence, but I've been sharing it all around, and I really trust God is going to stir some things in your heart this morning. Out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 to 18, and I want to read... No, from verse 13. But before I do so, I remember years ago going from Worcester. We planted the church in Worcester, and then after 5 years, God said we must come back and come and help in establishing the HQ here at Stellenbosch. And at that stage, it was about 10 years ago, I remember driving out of Worcester towards Stellenbosch, and me and my wife, we had this moving company. I don't know if you remember those old adverts of Statiford Van Lines, that one where it sings that song, "There Goes My Only Possessions." Okay, you're giving away your age if you do, but what I want to say about it is we felt like that, you know, moving from Worcester, looking back, and we had this moving company that only, the only one that we could afford at that stage. But we were just trusting that our stuff will get to Stellenbosch. That was where our faith was at. And God was speaking to me because I had a great concern in my heart at that stage. We left the church to a guy called Carlos at that stage, only being 2 years saved. Now, you know, to become a pastor within 2 years is quite radical. If you don't know that, it's quite hectic. As we drove out of Worcester, I've asked God the question, God, is the deposit that we left enough for you to work with? And I had this great concern in my heart. And God just dropped in my spirit, this deposit is more than enough. I can use this. I can do great things through it. My question to you this morning is wherever you work, whatever environment you live in, whatever neighborhood you live in, my question to you this morning is the deposit that you are leaving enough for God to work with? Because the challenge that we have as Christians is that we so often get caught up in growth within ourselves. Growth in, I want to become better and greater in Jesus, that we forget that God is actually growing us for a reason. God has a plan and a purpose for our growth to such an extent that it can be extended to the people and the societies, the communities around us, so that He can be the light of the world. And so, I want to share with you Paul's heart in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regards to the area of influence God has assigned to us, to reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you, for we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in the lands beyond you without boasting of the work already done in another's area of influence. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Now, I want to speak about Paul's heart. In the first letter, we know that there was three letters that Paul wrote to the Corinth church. We don't know if all three of those letters is included in the books that we know now, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. But what we do know is that there was three letters written, and we know that the first letter, as we know it today, Paul was addressing certain issues within the Corinth church that was important for them to sort out in doctrinal stuff, in just normal customs that they were using within the church. And then toward the second letter, we see Paul changing the word that he was busy giving to the Corinth church. Paul at this stage, being in Ephesus, was speaking about something that was laying a burden that laid upon his heart that he wanted to share with the Corinth church. Now, I want to just emphasize the story in the context of what it was. At this stage, Priscilla and Aquila was a couple that actually came all the way from Rome. They joined up at Corinth, and there their house became too small, and then they had to move next door. And then through this, they then at the end, after 2 years of tent making together with Paul, they went with Paul on his missionary journey, and then they ended up in Ephesus, where they again opened their house to be used for the church. And this is where Paul is now writing this letter of concern. Paul is saying, listen, I want to actually address a very important thing among yourselves, an issue of leadership and those who are trying to lead you now that is not as focused as I was when I was with you. And I, Paul, am not satisfied in walking away from this position within the responsibility and the sphere of influence that God has given me. Not because you got saved under me, but because of a spiritual principle of God's responsibility upon my life. So I'm not going to walk away from this. And this is a place where Paul then extends himself and he fights for the Corinth church to such an extent that he could actually say to them, listen, I want to be a father to you and I want to fight for the relationship that we have so that you can come to the fruit that God has called you to. Now listen to this, and I want to quickly read Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, because this is what Paul had in his heart. And because this is now Jesus speaking about the gospel, chapter 24, 12 to 14, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, and please note, the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, this is important in the context of the message that I want to speak to you this morning about. That was important. Here in Matthew 24, it speaks about the principle of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, we know that the gospel is the good news, okay? But the gospel of the kingdom, whenever we read in the Word of God about the kingdom, it speaks about the rule and reign of God in people's lives. Are you with me this morning? Because the gospel of the kingdom is the good news of God ruling and reigning in our lives. Now, I want to say to you this morning, there's so many people in the church today that miss this. They don't understand that it's not just about the good news and receiving the good news. It's a decision to make God, the Lord, Jesus, the Lord of your life. which means that everything and anything that he says to you, you must do. Because in a kingdom, the king decides whatever should be done. Now, this is a difficult message, and if you are just starting your journey in Christ, I want to say to you, this is quite high-level things that I'm talking about this morning. Because we all grow to a place where we become nothing. Where we become zero, and Jesus becomes everything. And I can tell you that's not already, true in my life. There's many things that I'm still laying down, and every season of my life I just realize, how much filth I still have in my heart. But you know what? It comes to a place where I have to make a decision to willfully allow God to be the leader, the decision maker of my life. But in the kingdom, in the church today, there's so many people that are so clever around God. They have all the principles, and they want to, always teach you about certain stuff about the Bible. And I want to say to you, when it speaks about the gospel of the kingdom here in Matthew, it does not speak about the gospel as the good news, the word of God. It speaks about the principle of the rule and reign of God over our lives. And I want to say to you this morning, although we know that the word of God is the ultimate principle that we live by, it's an outflow of knowing and having a relationship with the King of all kings. Because in this kingdom that you and I am serving at this stage, the king that is ruling over this kingdom decided to die for us first. Woo, are you with me? In a normal kingdom, we all become slaves to the king, subjects, that does everything that the king says we must do. But within this kingdom, Jesus came to establish a kind of kingdom where he becomes a servant. Woo, are you with me? Guys, this morning you must really hear my heart. Because Jesus comes to represent the Father heart of God to the world. He comes into this world and he says, listen, I'm not willing to just rule over you. I want your heart. I want to come to a place where you become a son to this kingdom, where you can become a co-heir that rules with me in a partnership that we can see the kingdom come on this earth. And this is where you and I am standing at this stage, knowing and understanding that although this king can force us to do anything because he's so in control, he was willing to bow his knee into this world and say, listen, I will give you my life. I will die for you so that you can become a co-heir. And that is what I love about this king. He's alive. Now, I love him for the fact that day to day I can stand in his presence and I can allow him to fulfill his word in and through my life. Now, I want to say to you this morning, having the information of the word of God is not enough. You can read the Bible until you're blue in the face, you can meditate and you can make sure that you get all the scriptures in your head. But if it's not penetrating your heart and bringing about a change, you are not accepting God as the Lord over your life. And there's so many Christians today all over the world, and we see, a majority of Christians, in the world, but yet we don't see the change. Why not? Because God is not yet the Lord over our lives. And so daily, I come to the Lord and I say, God, I don't want to be a principled man. I want to be a God-fearing man. Because I've seen so many people living by principle rather than by relationship with a God, the King of all kings. I want to say to you, if Joseph was a principled man, he would have missed out on God's calling upon his life. Because he would have walked away from Mary because the principle of society said that you should not marry a woman that comes out of adultery, that comes out of conception, out of the institution of marriage. And yet, the angel of the Lord came to Joseph, after Joseph even departed from Mary. And he said, Joseph, what's going on here? Are you a principled man so that society can think that you are so amazing? Ooh, I want to challenge you this morning. I'm going to challenge you to the core. Because we want to live according to principles, and yet we don't know that God is a God of relationship. God is a God that rules in our lives to such an extent that He wants to commune with us, wants to talk about the fact that He has a plan. Within this plan, He wants to partner with us, and He wants us to walk with Him. And within the blessing of being obedient to Him, we experience the blessing of life. And so, this is the heart of Paul within fighting for the Corinth church. He says, listen, I'm not walking away from this principle. I'm not walking away from the fact that I have a responsibility toward you, because I know that kingdom is at stake here. I'm fighting for God's rule over your lives. And so, I want to just quickly read this. To establish sons, not servants, is, walking in the kingdom of God, because dead religion creates servants by itself. Okay, I want to say this again. Dead religion creates servants by itself. I believe, and I'm so glad, Neil, thanks for that word this morning. I believe many people are so much in slave mentality because they serve a religion rather than a living God. And we are slaves to a religion that was never from Jesus. Because the religion that we must serve is the one of a living relationship with a God that loves us, that wants the best for us, that has a plan and a purpose. And so listen to this. In Romans 8 verse 14 it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. God's Spirit living within us. Psalm 145 verse 13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations. He's again speaking about dominion and about generations. The fact that God has a plan beyond our thinking in going from generation to generation to generation to fulfill His purposes on this earth. Now, can I just tell you what God's plan was from the beginning? God had a narrative with Israel, a story. And this story was told from generation, from a father of a family that would go and sit down with his children and his wife, and he would tell the story as he knew it's coming from his forefathers. He would then take the story of God, he will tell that to his family, and he will make sure that they live according to the principles of a God that is faithful to his people. Guys, if you read the Psalms, you must realize that these were people that had a relationship with a God. It was not a dead religion then. We've made it a dead religion by not connecting to the God behind his purposes. And I want to say to you this morning, God's plan was always that the story would go on from a father to a son, from a son becoming a father and he imparting into a son, so that people can know and understand what it is to have a relationship with this King. And so the first more than 100 years of the New Testament church, they would not have a Bible as we know it today. They would not know the story of the New Testament. They would only have one thing, that is the narrative, the story of what Christ came to do within the church. And within telling that story from person to person and making sure to keep people accountable and to speak into their lives and speak life into their lives, they got to a place of multiplying the kingdom from generation to generation. God is not a God for this generation. Do you know that many of the dreams that God gave you will only be fulfilled within your children? That's why I love to have my daughters here in front. I see it. Dreams that is in my wife's heart, in my heart, I see that it will probably only be fulfilled within their lives. I have a father that came out of a family that was just devastated, didn't know the Lord, and they were harsh people. My grandpa, you know, always had this saying. He said to us, listen, we as Oppermans would come into a country. The first thing that we will ask is, who is in control of this country? And then we would say, well, I'm against them. That is the kind of stories that my granddad came to tell us, because we were pioneers, people that really could take lead and make sure. But you know what? My father made a choice to say, listen, I know the King of all kings. I know that that is not the way that the King serves his people. I know that within my generation, I can turn it. And you know what? I know that there was a mom, my mom, that prayed for that dad of mine to get to salvation, to get to serve the Lord for the rest of his life, and supported him to do so. And the beauty of it is, today they've got many spiritual sons, daughters, people that would come to them in their brokenness, in the fact that they can't even walk anymore, my dad. But you know what? There's many sons coming to sit at his feet to come and receive what God has imparted in his life. I want to say to you, God's story is a story of multi-generations. A story where you and I have the responsibility to tell that which we received. That which is imparted within our hearts. Because you can only give that which you received. And I want to say to you, if the church today can only come to the understanding that you are not growing for your own sake, you are growing so that others might grow. Early in our ministry, God said to me and my wife, listen, you will serve people that will become much greater than you will ever be. And I want to say to you, if that is not the mentality within the church, we will never come to the fruit and the godliness that God wants to establish in our lives. It's not about you. It's not about your amazing gifting. You've received that gifting for a purpose. You know, I love what God is doing in my life, and that's thanks for the introduction this morning. But you know what? Within a week, I might even be out of a job as a general manager, because we're going to choose a new team. But what is so amazing about it is I know that my season is up. I've done my bit. And it's time for me to focus on doing the things that God has in store for this season. And there's others that must come into my slipstream and do more amazing stuff. And I promise you, the people that's going to follow up and do after me the same job, they're going to do greater things. If not so, then I have failed. And I want to say to you, within your workplace, and I'm not just talking about church this morning. Within your workplace, if the person that you are busy raising up within your church, within your workplace, is not becoming better than you will ever be, you're missing the point. Because we must work ourselves out of a job. God is only giving us seasons in our lives to impart into people's lives. And you must make the best out of it. I know that I'm going because God has a lot more sons that I must raise up and send into the world so that they can change lives forever. I'm excited about it. My question to you this morning, is the deposit that you are leaving enough? The church must be an outpost for the kingdom, not producing numbers, but sons. Sons that know that they are becoming fathers with responsibility toward other sons, that they can raise up to multiply and to do great things for God. Listen to this story. 1 John 2, verse 12 to 14. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to your fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you children because you know the Father. I write to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you are strong. The word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. It speaks of three different role players. Little children, just note that your sins are forgiven. Just be so thankful that God has brought you to the freedom. You know, just speaking last night to the MTPs again, one of the guys there just telling, you know, I came into the MTP residential and not even knowing if I'm really saved. And last week on my birthday, I went to get birthed within being baptized so that God can lay down the old man. I'm so excited. And just looking at his life and just the excitement of serving the Lord and just telling, listen, I know that, you know, there's so many sins that I must still deal with, but I'm so glad for what God already has done in my life. I'm free. I want to say to you, it's amazing to serve the Lord. Number two was the young men. They are requested to overcome the evil one. Make sure that if you're a young man serving the Lord, that you overcome the evil one. That you come against the temptations that the evil one brings against you. So that you can come to a place where you will overcome and overcome and overcome. So that you can get to receive the victory prize. Fathers, make sure that you endure. And I want to say to you, some of you are sitting here as fathers this morning. I've got the greatest respect for people. You know, I was just speaking to the Fanafians this week. Where's Bernard? Probably in the mother's room, eh? They've got lots of kids now. But just talking to the Fanafians and what godliness. People at their age willing to do what they are doing. I've got respect for that. Because I see so many people falling away from what God has called them to, not ending the race as good as they started. But I can tell you, there's so many fathers like the Fanafians. Like, where's Jan? Yeah, Jan is probably also not here this morning. People that serve the Lord for many years and still passionate about what God has done in their lives. I've got respect for that. I've got respect for the fact that you are busy overcoming the evil one constantly. And so, I want to say to you, we are called to do three things. The first thing is, we are supposed to reflect God. We are the lesser light, which means that God is like the sun that reflects its light on the moon getting to the earth. Are you with me this morning? All of you did, No, I don't want to even. What is the subject that you do at school? Geography. Thanks. I'm just thinking Adrikskunde, and I'm trying to get the English word here. The reflection of the greater light against the moon brings the reflection to the earth, so that the greater light can be reflected in such a way that the world will see it. I want to say to you, you are called to reflect the greater light. You can only reflect that which you've received. And then we are here to represent the Father heart of God to the world. The world will only know the Father heart of God. The world would only know the Father heart of God if we represent that to the world. Not that God needs us, and I want to say it this morning. You know, I've heard teachings the last few years even of people saying that God, you know, needs us and God is sending his angels to make us successful. That is not true. I want to say it this morning. God left us on this earth and he's with us every day, supporting us in whatever means to reflect his glory. He must be glorified through our lives. It's not about you and I. It's not about our greatness. It's not about the amazing stuff that we are going to do in the time that we live here on earth. It's about how did we glorify the King of all kings. And then lastly, to reproduce. The fact that you and I, according to Genesis 1, and I can mention so many other scriptures, you know, that God asked us to multiply that which we received. That if it stays with you, you and I will not become a living organism in the kingdom of God. Now, I want to end off this morning by just mentioning Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away." Now, I love Matthew 13. Because in the early part of Matthew 13, it has another parable, the one of the sower. Now, within this parable, we read that this sower would go and then sow the seeds among different soil types. And the response on the soil would be different in different areas. Now, my question to you this morning is, who was the seed sower within the first parable? Okay. Woo, are you awake this morning? Who was the seed sower in the first parable? Whosoever would share the gospel of the kingdom, and I want to get back to that. Because speaking about the gospel of the kingdom, whosoever is not, you know, sowing the seeds of the word of God, but the message of the rule and reign of God in people's lives. Are you with me? Whosoever would sow the seed, and the seed being the message, the good news of the rule and reign of God over our lives, they would then get different responses, and the soil would be the hearts of men. Is it not so? So in the second parable in Matthew 13, and I want to get back to that, because Jesus is actually explaining in Matthew 13, verse 36. He says, "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' And he answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field,'" listen to this, "'is the world. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace in the place where there will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine." Listen to this. I want you to really open your heart and ears here. "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. You as ears, let him hear." Now listen to this. The story is changing a little bit here. Because in this parable, the seed sower is Jesus. Jesus is the seed sower. What is the seed? The sons of the kingdom. What is the soil? The world. I want to say to you, God's answer to this world is sons and daughters that has the rule and reign of God in their lives, that is thrown into communities, into societies, into the workplace, into whatever sphere of influence they have to fulfill God's kingdom. But you know what? It's alive. It's not just a book. It's a book being deposited in people's lives that lives a life of the principles of a king that knows how to rule over his people. You know what I love about this piece of scripture? Is that last part where it says, "The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let him who has ears Let him hear. I want to say to you this morning, God has a desire for your workplace, for the place where God has called you to, the place of responsibility that you have to exercise the rule and reign of God in your life. I remember years ago, and I've mentioned this in December when I preached here as well. I remember years ago, you know, when I started working at APSA, I had a team that was, they were really, I don't know how to describe them. Actually, when I went to the interview in this team, because we had a credit headquarters where we were different teams, and then within these teams, I went for the interview, and they said to me, you know what, because, you know, I couldn't stop speaking about the Lord, so they said, but listen, you're actually a pastor. We can't employ you because, you know, you are just talking about the Word of God the whole time rather than to speak about the financial principles that you know. So, but they said, we've got one job here that we can actually give to you. That is in a team, they are called the drinking team. We want you to help that team to become a better team. And I was employed in this team, and I was, very young, I think at that stage, what was it, 23, 22. And I remember being in this team, and they would come in the morning at 5 or 6, coming from the Keierplek, the clubs. They would come back, and then they would come to work, and I would then have to get all the statements and stuff that's necessary for the team to make decisions at that stage. And then by 10 o'clock, after two or three coffees, they would start to look through the papers, and, you know, I would do all the work. You know what was so amazing about that time? God said to me, I want you to become content within the season that I've given you, because if you don't, you will never be sent into the next. I started to pray for that boss of mine. I would go at 6 o'clock in the morning and anoint the seats. I would anoint the walls. When they came into the building, they would say, yuck, what's the strange stripes, you know, on the walls and on the... I would pray for their salvation. You know why? Because I'm a son of the kingdom. I've got the heart of God, the father heart of God for the people that I'm serving under. I love the people of this world. Because I know that, you know, they're so desperate for something that you and I have that we take for granted. The father heart of God. It's such an empty life if you don't have Jesus, God the Father, being portrayed in and through your life. I would go to those seats and I would anoint it. At the end of my term there, they said to me, you know what? We must admit, you know, that we are so convicted. Because what you've done in our lives is just amazing. Not because of what I've done. I've never even spoken to them about the gospel. But they could see out of my lifestyle. They could see out of my heart for them. I was portraying the father heart of God. You know, just last weekend, we had a birthday party there at our house. It was so nice to have people, you know, that don't know the Lord even, you know, at the party. It was so beautiful to listen to their stories. Some of them saying to me, oh, you know what, I just need a pain pill. Do you have a pain pill maybe for this headache? Because last night, you know, was a little bit too late. You know, we had too much to drink. And the other one would grab the cup of coffee there and say, oh, this is now, you know, the best thing of this day. I was so out of it last night. I love that. I love that. I love being among those people. You know why? It's an opportunity to share the heartbeat of God. They would go out of that party to their cars. I would walk with them. They would say, listen, we want to come to you in London when you guys are living there because we love what your family represents. We love you people. There's something about you that we love. It's not us. We are portraying the father heart of God. I want to say to you this morning, God the Father is enough. And as we grow the living relationship with Him, He starts to become more real, not just to us, but the people around us. Let us stand. We're going to glorify the King of all kings. Where's the worship? Can we sing that last song again? Because as the anointing dropped in this place, I just wanted to go on this morning. I just wanted to soak in His presence. Guys, it's not the Bible that's going to make the difference. It's not the amazing works that you are going to do. It's a relationship with Almighty God, the one who wrote all those principles, the one who lived by the instructor's manual. He made us. He knows exactly what we need to be successful in life. Although we rebel against it, yet that King of all kings wants to be a living reality within our lives. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, we magnify You this morning. We glorify Your name. We glorify You as the King of all kings, and we realize that so often we are serving a dead religion. And this morning we want to choose to receive the Father heart of God. God, we know that You know the best for our lives. We know that, Father, we are so afraid to actually give up control so that You can rule. Father, we recognize that we have all the risk, Father God, calculations in our minds of what we might lose if we give You a blank page. If we give You the opportunity to make the decision so that we get out of our box, out of our comfort, out of our securities, into a place where we stand naked and we don't know the outcome. Oh God, we are people that live according to the outcome. We want to have the security that whatever actions we take, we will know the outcome. And we know that, God, as You come into our lives, sometimes it means that we must give up that control. My heartbeat this morning, oh God, is that You will become more and we become less. In the name of Jesus, we come to You this morning and we ask that You will come and transform our lives. I want to thank You personally this morning, oh God, for a Father that I could sit at His feet and know that He's speaking the oracles of God. I thank You that in my generation, there was a dad that decided to serve You, that started to change the course of life and make a decision to live a reality with You. Father, I know that there's many fatherless people here this morning. I know that there's many sons, Father God, that wants to be fathers, but they must become sons first. They must receive fathers in their lives. They must receive You as the Father. They must, Father, embrace correction. But Father, I know this morning in Jesus' name that You are so gracious with us that we can move in Your presence and allow You to, from glory to glory, take us to a point where we can become fathers. Help us to deposit in people's lives around us. And Father, this morning I pray for the sons of this house, those who still need, Father God, impartation in their lives so that they can become fathers. I pray that they will willingly bow their knee so that they can learn more, that they would, Father God, get that spiritual deposit bestowed upon their lives so that they can multiply that which You've given them. I want to thank You, Father God, for my life, having so many spiritual fathers that You've surrounded me with, people that could speak into my life and I could listen, because I know You speak through them. Father, I pray that all of us will come to that understanding. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask you before we leave this morning to pray with the person next to you. Now, I know this is always very intimidating. I know that this is the not so nice part of meetings like this, when you must actually make yourself vulnerable to even to a person that you don't know around you. But you know what the blessing of it is? A willingness to make a memorial stone. To say, God, I want to ask that you will come in my life. Just an honest assessment of where you are at. And Father, I want your Father heart to come and rest upon me this morning. I want to ask you that within, and I want you to actually, if you are willing this morning, to be honest with the person next to you and saying, listen, I'm not busy fathering people around me. I'm not busy fathering people in my workplace. I'm too afraid. That's all right. I've been there as well. I've been so afraid. That's why I went 6 o'clock in the morning. I didn't want any confrontation, and that's all right. God is fine with where your faith is at this stage. But it's a willingness to start and say, God, I want to see the place, the community, the workplace, wherever I go, I want to see that transformed. And this morning I make a start. I want to make a first step toward portraying the Father heart of God wherever I go. Is that all right? So let's spend a little time in praying for one another, and then begin to end off with that beautiful song that you guys ended off in the worship. And I want to ask you to really do that out of your hearts this morning, to give the one who deserves the glory this morning. Amen? Great. Let's pray. Yes, Father, we thank you that we can be called sons of God because your Spirit dwells within us. This morning we come in Jesus' name and we ask that you will become more relevant to us. Oh God, we repent even this morning, Father, of living lives, Father God, of emptiness and Father, selfishness even sometimes. I want to pray, Father God, this morning, yeah, Father, to be revealed through us. Let your sons and daughters shine forth in the kingdom of our Father. I pray that, Father, we will go forth and wherever we go, make the change that's necessary. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. If there's anyone that needs prayer this morning, please come to the front. We will be praying with you. Have a blessed day. Enjoy the nice summer while it lasts. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.